You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
Last week I spoke about kindness. This week I'm going to speak about faithfulness. Our highest motive for faithfulness towards God and towards others is love. Love fulfills every possible moral command. Love fulfills the law. And there's another reason that we ought to be faithful, and that is our reverence for God. If we have the fear of the Lord, we will be faithful to Him. In addition, there is self-interest. We will reap what we sow, and if we sow faithfulness, what are we going to reap? Lots of faithfulness. Let's take a look at God's motive for faithfulness. Here in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Moses wrote, "Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Let's look at that again. The Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. How faithful is He? Well, He keeps His covenant and His loving kindness, His chesed, to a thousand generations. Look, God is promising that He will save and protect you, your children, your children's 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 children. We're talking about a remarkable faithful God. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, Moses celebrates the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. God is like a rock. He's like a mountain. He is steadfast. He is there. He is a God of faithfulness. He will always be true to His word. In our faithfulness, what we do really is to be done because of and for love. There are some verses which are familiar to many people. It's about the slave who chooses to stay in bondage to his master for the sake of love. Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6. "Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man,' then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently." Here we find that the slave who is about to be freed, you see, it's important to realize that slavery within the context of the scriptures, within the context of the Jewish people, speaking of a Hebrew slave being owned by another one of their countrymen, it's really like indentured servitude. It was a way out of economic distress, and when they were serving in that household, they had a certain type of security and stability that they did not have when they were living freely. So here we have this slave, and he has to determine, am I going to go out alone, or am I going to join myself to this household? We would think that someone would leap at the opportunity for freedom, but instead the slave who loves his master, his wife, and his children turns away from his own freedom and says, "No, I'm going to be faithful here." The slave is then brought before God. And as he says this in the presence of God, God hears, God ratifies this oath, and they go out and they actually do something to demonstrate this is the choice this man has made. Faithful for the sake of love. We are to be faithful to God because of and for the purposes of love and for the glory of the one we love. Paul wrote, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. There's a controversy in the Corinthian believing community. Do we eat or drink food that has been sacrificed, dedicated to idols, or not? Paul said, look, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when you are concerned about the well-being of a person, you are concerned about their reputation. When you're concerned about God, you're concerned about his reputation. When we, God have mercy, slander others, lie about others, damage other people's reputations, perhaps we, there's an expression of damning someone with faint praise. When we do that, we are not concerned about the glory of that individual, the well-being, the dignity of that individual. That type of activity is unloving, and we are not being faithful to the Lord, who wants us to be watching over the reputations of other people. An aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Galatians 5, verse 22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. If we are looking to increase in our faithfulness, we need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in his presence. We need to spend time in his word. We need to spend time with his people. God will help us to become faithful. It's important to realize that God prizes faithfulness. In Nehemiah 9, verses 7 and 8, the prophet Nehemiah, speaking concerning the activity of God, said this, speaking to God, "You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land, to give it to his descendants. And you have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous." God calls Abram out from Ur of the Chaldees. Ultimately, Abram obeys. What happens? God ends up saying, "This man is faithful. I'm going to change his name, and I'm going to make a covenant with him." One thing which is not often rehearsed or emphasized is that covenants are made with those we love. God does not first make a covenant and then love people. He loved and then made a covenant. In Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist said, "O love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." The Lord preserved Abraham. The Lord will preserve us as we maintain our faithfulness to him. We are also told that our words are to have integrity. We are to be faithful in what it is that we say to others. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are told, "Let your yes be yes, and don't vow, but mean what you say and follow through." Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 and 37. "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.' But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. We are to have integrity in what it is that we say. When we say something, when we give our word, it is to be like a solemn interchange of, it's not formal covenant, but it's almost the same thing as if it is a covenant. When we speak our determination to do something, we need to follow through. And in the same way we are to have integrity, so also does God have integrity. God makes promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Paul wrote, "But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus, who is preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us." God is faithful. He's not going back and forth. Have I said that I would do something? Oh, now I'm not sure I want to do something. And that's not God at all. As God is faithful, we imitated God. Our word to you is not yes and no. In fact, as many as are the promises of God in the Messiah, Jesus, they are yes. God is faithful. He keeps his word. An extraordinary example is how God fulfilled his word to Abraham and to Sarah. Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2, "The Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him." God is faithful. He keeps his word, and ultimately all his words will be fulfilled. Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. "All these died in faith without receiving the promises." This is referring to the patriarchs. "But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Ultimately, all of God's words are going to be fulfilled. When Jesus was born, there are all of these prophecies spoken of him while he was still in his mother's womb, and then after he was born, as to how he was going to be the king of Israel, the king of the Jewish people, as to how through his life and reign, the people of Israel would be able to serve God without fear. Well, what happened? Things were derailed. He was crucified, he was killed and buried, but God was not content to allow his Holy One to suffer corruption, and he was not content to allow those prophecies to fall to the ground and die. With the Messiah Jesus, those words, those promises were raised up from the dead. Jesus was raised from the dead, he is glorified, and at his return, all of those promises shall be gloriously fulfilled. In fact, in the realm of the Spirit, they are currently being fulfilled. They shall be utterly manifested in the earth as well. Now we are to imitate God in his faithfulness. We are to be, and he is, faithful in looking after God's own interests, servants who are to be faithful. Take a look at this, what the Lord said in Matthew 24, verses 44 through 51. "For this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Surely, faithfulness is enjoined here in this prophetic warning. In Matthew 24, verse 45, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household? The slave that the master puts in charge of his household is the slave who has proven faithful. If we're faithful to the Lord, he will put us in charge of more things, looking after those things for the well-being of the master and the master's interests. In the Bible, the first person spoken of God as being faithful was Moses. In Numbers 12, verses 6 through 8, God is intervening in a rebellion that is coming against Moses from Moses' older brother and older sister. Numbers 12, verses 6 through 8, God said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we see this evaluation of Moses reiterated. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But the Messiah was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. The faithful servant looks after the house. The faithful son looks after the house. Now, concerning this house, it's God's house, but it's also the Messiah's house. Question, will he care for his own house? Of course he will. Who is his house? We are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the temple of God, the house of God, is spoken of corporately. You, plural, are a temple of God. And the temple of God is also spoken of in individual terms. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Jesus will exercise extraordinary faithfulness over his own house, whether it be a corporate expression or an individual's life. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, it is written, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" God says, "I'm going to be faithful to you." And he says, "I am going to provide for you. I am a faithful father, a faithful friend, and oh, by the way, I will be faithful to care for my house. You are my house." In addition, Jesus said, "I am with you." He said that in the Great Commission, "I will be with you even to the end of the age." Well, There is a place where that type of activity is exemplified in the book of Acts. Acts 18, verses 9 through 10. Paul has been persecuted in Corinth, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." The Lord is with you. The Lord said he would be with you. Trust in the Lord. It is a matter of God's faithfulness that the work he began will be completed. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul wrote, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of the Messiah Jesus." Your destiny will be fulfilled because God is faithful, and you are responding to God in faithfulness. The Messiah Jesus is building you. Often what we perceive as delay is actually the setting in place of a spiritual infrastructure. Your calling will be fulfilled because the Lord is faithful and he is watching over you. You can expect his purposes to progressively come to pass. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." God is faithful. Those works are going to open up before you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, Paul wrote, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." Well, what about stumbling blocks? What about persecution? What about difficulties? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul wrote, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." So what should we do? We should listen carefully for the heart of the owner of the house, who will be faithful in caring for that which is his own. And as you listen and respond, you'll be built together with others who are also being faithful into a dwelling place. Prepare a place for him and expect him to come.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Love and War, which was written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David Harwood and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David Harwood is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the book, God's True Love. Copies of David's book can be purchased on loveofgodproject.org and on Amazon. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. If you would like more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, or God's True Love, you can find it on restorationfellowshipny.com and loveofgodproject.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, and Love and War DH. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean. God willing, a new episode of Love and War will be released next week.